Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me, as always, is the Crabbin man himself, Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Prick Special podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Yeah, hi Ben.
How was your week? We're here at Friday, we've made it to the end.
Oh my God, it's been so good. We recorded our first new Rose Pricks podcast for The Bachelorette.
Ooh.
It's really funny, a cast preview, so go check that out.
That's awesome.
And, you know, just getting ready to be back podcasting full time again. I'm so excited.
It's very, very exciting. Well, I'm excited because, you know, we're pretty much at this point almost fully transitioned into our spring Bravo slate. Atlanta is over. We were covering all new shows, not reunions this week, which was really nice for us. And, you know, today we're going to be talking about Southern Charm Savannah. But before we get into Southern Charm Savannah, Ronnie, I want to talk about Caroline Fleming. May I?
Please.
Can we do a special Clear the Phlegm?
Yes, please.
All right. Well,
how lucky are you to have me teach you about me?
Clear the Phlegm.
Clear the Phlegm is a very near and dear segment to us. It's when we look at the Instagram of Caroline Fleming, the wonderful Baroness from Ladies of London. Now, normally we look at her Instagram, but in this case, you know, Caroline Fleming has recently learned the art of the Instagram story. So now she has these amazing stories where she'll sort of just be totally Caroline Fleming. And last week, we didn't really talk about this, but last week she was in Los Angeles. And the entire week, she was going around throughout our neighborhood. It was very frustrating that we did not actually encounter her. But she'd go to places like The Grove and be like, "How lucky are we to be here at The Grove near a water fountain? It is just beautiful."
Hashtag water fountain. Does she say that in her stories? Is she like, hashtag Grove?
Hashtag Grove. She was saying stuff like that. It was, you know, there'd be times where I was like, oh, I'd see like 1 hour ago she was at Gracias Madre restaurant. I was like, damn it, I could have gone to that restaurant and like gone in. If I had seen it said 15 minutes ago, I might have driven over to that restaurant and tried to get a picture with her.
I saw something she posted that said, hashtag no wall, hashtag everyone welcome in America. I'm like, bitch, you ain't American. Get out of here.
How lucky am I to be an American today? So I think on Thursday or Friday, there was some sort of Dior show up in Calabasas. And she went to it. And it was a whole thing where you park and then you get onto a golf cart and they drive you up. Mm-hmm. And her Instagram stories just really cracked me up. So I recorded about two or three of them. And I want to play them now. I didn't record all of them because, you know, it's too much. But these were like about three of them in a row and just so Caroline Fleming-ish. Are you ready to hear Caroline Fleming going at the Dior show? Okay.
Yeah.
This has just got to be one of the most extraordinary views. We were so lucky that the sun came, and to experience this is just incredible. This is actually one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I mean, cars, everywhere, cars, going to the in Los Angeles. Now this is how you go to Dior show in Calabasas.
Bahamas. Look at this. Cars, cars, cars. Everywhere you look in Los Angeles.
Isn't this the most extraordinary sight? Oh, the sun shining on the cars, cars, cars on the way to Calabasas.
Do they not have cars where she's from? I mean, well, I guess it is ridiculous because you go to like the Beverly Hills Hotel and there's a line of Rolls Royces, you know, well, to get up there.
The context was actually that they were in the middle of nowhere in this field and there were all these black Escalades parked everywhere. Oh. So she was like, look at this. It's a field that should be normally filled with blueberries and strawberries and barberries and huckleberries. And said they're just cars, cars, cars. Everyone in Los Angeles.
The field of dreams. I like when she said, we are so lucky that the sun came.
I'm like, where'd the sun come? And why you feel lucky? Because the sun came out. It's the sun. That's what it does, girl.
It's Los Angeles. It's always sunny here. It's not Philadelphia. Philadelphia, that's a lie about Philadelphia, but it's true about LA. The sun will always shine in LA.
Los Angeles.
That's how you get to Calabasas. Calabasas.
That woman's amazing. She's got to move here soon, right?
Oh, it would be the dream. I mean,
at
she's
least
just the
summer
best.
Home. How lucky are we? The sun came all over our summer home.
Well, right now she's back in Denmark and she has been at like her childhood home. She's like, finally at home at Voldemort Castle. This is what home is like. Nothing like the Danish light and the sunshine in Denmark. Home.
How unlucky was I to have spoken his name aloud?
Her castle is really called like Voldemort. She geotagged it. It says like Voldemort Castle.
God, her children all die. She's like, Voldemort ate my children. He's back. Why must he keep coming? Stop saying his name. Stop saying his name. I'm looking at one right now. She's at Svendborg Skate Park. And it says, this has to be one of the coolest shots ever taken of these hashtag cousins, hashtag skating, and off to the hashtag skate park with Uncle Nicolas, who also took the shot at 1, 2, 3, 4, Doody.
Oh, Caroline Fleming, never change.
Clear the phlegm.
All right, well.
Love that woman.
I truly love her. I want Ladies of London to come back, if only to give us more Caroline Fleming.
Oh, look, here you are in New York visiting me. Well, thanks so much. Makes me think of the time your sister came here and told me what a slut you are.
Marissa. Marissa lives here now. And Marissa's getting all over town.
Yeah.
She's all full of pictures. She's like, look, here I am with Reza.
Oh, really? Oh, geez.
Yeah, it's like everybody. I think she just sits in the polo lounge and just waits to see who she'll see. It's like,
oh, hi, Al Pacino. Hi, Lisa Rinna. Hi, Reza.
Oh, God. Well, today, let's go down to the South, and the Deep South, and go to Savannah for some Southern Charm Savannah, okay?
Okay, let's open this with some public service announcements.
Please.
That need to be made. Now, people on new Bravo shows, you're actually some of the only people who listen to us, because, you know, after a while, you get used to it, and you're like, why would I want to listen to Queens being mean to me?
Yeah.
But the ones who are new, I know it's really hard for you. You're not in a reality town. You're in like some weird town, Savannah. It's haunted and shit. You got enough to deal with.
You got ghosts.
You got ghosts without coming on and hearing people be mean about you on the internet. Okay. It's what we do. It's fun. It's snark. We're mean on purpose. Okay. We don't understand your real people because to us, you're like cartoon characters. So when we hurt your feelings and you tell us, you're hurting us. Do you understand? You're hurting this show.
That's a good. I like how you spun that. Yeah, I can't believe you said we're being mean. That was mean to us.
Yes, that is what we do. And we just do it for fun. It's easier for us to pretend you're cartoon characters and we don't care. And if we hurt your feelings, you know, I'm a typical bully where I will say a lot of mean shit. But if I hurt, I'll start crying immediately. So
don't make
if I've hurt your feelings, then it makes me really sad. And then I'm like, no, I can't make fun of this person. I have to make fun of you. So seriously, just turn off the internet when we're being mean. And also,
another thing, because Ashley, you know, we hurt Ashley's feelings. She's like, guys, if you're going to judge, maybe you should, like, get to know me better. Guess what?
She wasn't the only one that we hurt.
Yeah, but you're on TV. Okay, so her, and she was really lovely. And I wrote her back and said, look, girl, I mean, you're a cartoon to us. Like, whatever.
Well, I just want to elaborate on that.
Feel free to come online and talk to us and tell me off. I don't care. You're welcome to do that as well. Email.
I like how you're like, don't be mean to me, otherwise I'll cry, but come online and tell me off. I just want to elaborate
through that way. If she's like, oh, you think I'm an insecure slut because I didn't get enough attention from my father? That's bullshit. I would love to have that conversation. You know, right. We don't have to fight. But.
Well, I just want to elaborate before you get to your next point that, you know, the whole point of our podcast, this is just a general thing for people who are new in general and doesn't have to be someone who's on a show. The whole point of this show is to capture that feeling of what's going through our heads as we watch the show. And we know that almost 95% of the people that we see on Bravo are probably nice people. They're much different than what you see on TV. We are aware that there's editing and that things have been curated to do this. And what we're saying is we're being presented this version of these people. And the fun is extrapolating wild judgments based on very little. Judgments that we know are probably inaccurate, but it's fun to have them. And these are things that go through our head when we watch, and we try to capture that feeling, and we articulate it as best we can, because the whole thing is that way people can join in and be like, I thought that too. So take everything with not just a grain of salt, a big rock of Himalayan pink sea salt. Okay.
Yes.
So don't take it personally, even if we say a and very also, deeply personal thing about you and your upbringing.
Yes, because I love to get like deep and try and figure out why people are broken, because we all are, you know. And I'm just talking out my ass most of the time. I
we're
listen to a lot of Dr.
Issues.
Laura.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just projecting. But that doesn't mean don't tweet at us. I'm just saying don't let your feelings get hurt, because that's what we're here for. We're, also, yeah. to
it
the
also
other
gets
tweet,
much worse than us. By
the other
way.
Tweet that was annoyed with us is Nelson. he was like, "Boys, a fun show, but why does a man being wonderful with the English language?" I'm not quoting this, by the way. Who can articulate well? Mean he's lighting the loafers. Okay, first of all, lighting the loafers is the gayest ass thing I've ever heard this week, at least. Yeah. That's a very gay thing to say. Second of all, I actually thought about that tweet before I responded, because we are gay guys. And so who are we to shame somebody for being gay or straight or whatever they are? Here's my answer.
We weren't
shaming. Gayness has come to a place in this current year, 2017. It's come to a place where it's not even about your penis anymore. I don't know if it's because we live in Los Angeles. I make out with straight guys all the time that I don't really think are gay. I think they're really straight. But then I meet straight guys, especially in the South. I'm from the South, where gayness is part of your heart. You know, some men just are really gay and they find a wife and we look at them as being really gay because, I mean, you say things like fabulous and bye, Felicia. And, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you're gay in your heart, but not necessarily your penis. I don't care. To all intents and purposes, what I can see, you're just as gay as a $3 bill, and I love you for it. I don't need you to go have sex with some man or swallow anything, but, you know, your gayness is in your personality, and I find it highly enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we were shaming him. We were just surprised because we just assumed he was gay, and then we were surprised really, really to find out that he was not gay. And then we will, you know, and that's it. We were just merely reacting to, you know, body language and inflections that we normally associate with very gay men. That's all.
And not only gay men, but super out of the closet gay men.
Yeah.
We grew up with this dude, my parents' friends, I shouldn't say their name right, but her husband, Tim, was real super gay. He'd be like, Ronnie, you're in a play? Girl, that is amazing. Tell me about it. How do you like your vocal warm-ups? What's your favorite one? I mean, every time I would see these guys, and my dad's like, that guy's gay, right? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, he's married. He's been married forever. When we went to see the tour of Cats at the El Paso Civic Center, my mom was like, fucking singing Cats, shoot me in the face. Get me out of here at intermission. And he's like, Rhonda, you cannot leave. This is not about cats. It is about art. These are human beings speaking art through cats. Don't you understand? I mean, he's like this.
And I like it because I like pussy, obviously. That's why a show about cats resonates with me, because I like sticking my penis into a pussy thing.
And who knows? Maybe that guy was not gay at all because his wife was very happy, you know, and they're still together to this day. Listen, so who knows?
When as long I'm as Nelson is happy, man, as long as he is a happy girl, man with lots of money supporting Trump, who are we to judge?
You have sex with whoever you want. As far as I'm concerned, you are a homosexual of the heart, and that's all that matters to me. So you go, girl.
All I care about is that he's funny on the show, and so far, so good. So, Nelson, just be funny, yeah, and we don't really give a fuck. We were just reacting to what we thought was a surprising development to us. But yeah,
so
but,
I just wanted to say that because you guys all seem so nice, you know, and I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I will. So just turn it off.
But we at the same time, I also really appreciated Dan. They all tweeted at us, by the way. It was actually kind of fun. Daniel was he said something like, "Oh, you guys are funny," and then I think you said something like, "Oh, just wait until we say something to piss you off." He's like, "It's all good. It's your job. I get it." I was like, "Wow, hey, that's cool."
Yeah, it's really cool to us to get tweets from you, you know, from people. It's just, you know, believe it or not, when we're not here, but we get sensitive, and I'm like, oh my god, that poor girl Ashley, she's so broken. Don't jump, Ashley. But then of course I have to come back on here and talk about you getting down to your skivvies in the golf on the golf course, so you know, turn it off. Turn
that
it
being
off.
Said you should probably turn off the rest of this episode.
Okay, so now to the regular
speaking
episode.
Of Ashley, we start off where we left off, where you left off, because as you may remember, I forgot to watch the last 15 minutes of the show last week. So,
is everything okay?
I did catch up.
Now my house is on fire.
So this was sort of a weird intro because it opens up like the house is on fire, the house is on fire. Then it goes 6 hours earlier. I'm like, wait, weren't we there for the 6 hours earlier? Why are we flashing back? Okay. So,
and it rewinds. The girls are still getting their roadies. So good.
Yeah. And so then like 6 hours earlier, Ashley's like, you know, I like Dennis and I married him because he knocked me up. But then we got divorced. But then we decided to get married again because, you know, for Izzy's sake. But we just do not have sex. And I don't know. I don't know if I can live like this. And then it was
I have more romance with myself than I do with him. I was like, oh.
I know. And then it goes, now 6 hours after. I was like, wait, why do we have this flashback? She's like, 6 hours after, a fan caught on fire. He saved Izzy. Guess what? I do love him after all. I was like, this is a weird way to start the show.
It was really bizarre. Okay, first of all, the fan caught fire. I mean, that looks like one of my fans at the end of the summer that I just keep at the screen door, and it's covered in fuzz. It's like all this. It's like a blanket of shit in the back of the fan, and so it started the fan on
fire. It didn't catch on fire. It committed suicide. It's like, get me out of this house.
It's like a brush fire when the earth just tries to cleanse itself, you know?
I'll never be the Pixar lamp. So,
it keeps intercutting her saying, I just can't love him. I just need something else. I need to leave him. This is loveless and cold. And then it keeps intercutting with her bringing her kid back. And he's got bandages, poor thing, you know, and taking upstairs. And they go upstairs and she's like, you know, there's a lot of ghosts in this town, and I knew that there was bad energy up on that third level. But when the husband moved back in, we moved Izzy up there, and, you know, gave him a fan with, you know, dog hair blankets on it. And then it caught fire, and Dennis was putting my life for a reason to get my kid out of the fire. I'm like, well, now he served his purpose. Now he can just go kill himself.
She's just like, I knew I never should have given him that Ecto cooler. Brought too many ghosts into this house, and so they were like in the room. They were crying. It was like sad, you know. And the kid was obviously shaken up. I feel so bad for that. He really is a cute kid. So, but then Ashley's like, you know, there is all this weird energy on the third floor. You know, there was, you know, this town, there was like dead slaves and dead Native Americans. They burned everything down. And guess what? All those ghosts have congregated here on the third floor. On the third floor, Izzy, don't be scared though, but they're ghosts on the third floor. I was like, lady, you're going to scare this. He's never going to be able to go to sleep in your house.
Also, he's sleeping in a trash heap. I mean, you can't blame yellow fever and the genocide of the Indian population on your dirty rug. You know what I mean? You can't blame it for your dirty rug.
Post fire.
That was a dirty rug. There was not enough fire to hide. The whole thing wasn't on fire. I still saw the edges that weren't on fire.
It was ghost dust. Those dust bunnies were once real life bunnies. So
were Indian. Those were dead Indians coming in here, just burning their hair bunnies on the fan, trying to make a J-Lo video. So she's saying, do I need romance when I have a guy who loves a kid so much he'd sacrifice himself? I was like, well, I wouldn't go that far. But it makes me sad for the husband because he's like, love you. We love you so much. We'll see you later. She's like, I wish I could love you. Bye. Have a good day. Jeez, poor guy.
Yeah, I'm sure the last thing he wanted was her to say all that stuff on TV.
Yeah, he's going to feel great watching this in the fire episode.
So then we go over to Happy's house. And, you know, I'm also going to say poor Happy because we finally learned who the heck Happy is. They're like, sorry, Happy, we like you and everything, but we're just not going to give you a bio on the pilot. We're going to wait to the second episode. So the whole story with Happy and Azam, I think it was Azam, is that they're cooking and they have issues because they're going to get married, but she's Episcopalian and he's a Muslim, and her mom doesn't want her to marry basically a Muslim, but her grandma's cool with it and it's causing issues, et cetera, et cetera.
I get it. That's very sucks. Southern. My dad's from a Lebanese family, first generation. He married the whitest family in the world, you know, my parents or my mom. And like the Meemaw side is like super religious, Jesus chapel and everything. And, you know, the other side, they're not Muslim, but they're just really super Lebanese. And my mom always tells a story. Can you believe when I started dating your father, one of the great aunts at a Lebanese party said, I just have one question. Does he smell funny?
Great.
So, you know, I get it. But yeah, at the same time, I'm sure they're the same kind of Episcopalian we are, where it's like super religious, but then you can still get wasted and, you know, say fuck a lot and chain smoke and beat your kids with a wooden spoon from the glove compartment.
Yeah, there we go.
Right?
That's some good Episcopalianism right there.
It's just modern religion. It's just labels.
It's just the way it goes. So Daniel and Amber come over. Amber is Daniel's friend. And this is when we learn that Daniel's father, the crook, because he was in some sort of scheme, right? So Daniel's dad, he embezzled, and Happy's mom dated for 10 years. So basically Daniel's like a brother to Happy. So that was sort of an interesting twist.
The same mother who doesn't want her to marry a Muslim was marrying a Jew, and Happy points that out. She's like, you know, I mean, she was doing the same thing, but I mean, she didn't marry him, so I guess that's kind of her point.
Yeah, but he's also an embezzler too, by the way. So, like,
well, not till
Happy's
later,
mom
no,
really
not till
was
later.
It? Oh, was it afterwards? Oh, okay.
I don't know,
but Happy's mom needs to just get with it. Okay, get with it. Get with the program.
And Happy's She's saying, well, I want all my bridesmaids to wear saris, but I couldn't really understand the measurements. And my friends are like, what the heck? I'm like, any bridesmaid would be happy to wear a sari. It's like, it doesn't have to fit right. It's just basically like a beautiful blanket. You know, you can be any weight. Everybody can look pretty.
Yeah, exactly. So then we go back to Ashley's house and we get a better look at her house. It is so cluttered. I'm like, it's not the ghosts are not haunting you. You just have to do some spring cleaning. That's all.
Whose house? Is this Happy's house?
No, this is Ashley's house.
Oh, we're back at Ashley's. Okay.
The ghosts were just trying to help her out. They're like, listen, there's too much stuff in this house. We just have to clear some of it out right now. Take your kid downstairs. We're just going to light his room on fire so we have just a little less clutter.
The Indian ghosts are like, look, we don't want to work for you any more than we already have in the past, but someone needs to clean this goddamn house.
I mean, we've tried.
Do you understand what shelving is?
We have tried to possess your vacuum cleaner and just do work it for you, but we just can't. So we're just doing the next best thing, fire.
At some point she goes, the energy is still weird in here. And then they cut to a skull in a fishbowl. Like, well, that might be it. It's like a maid from 8 generations ago.
She says that basically because of all their protection symbols that they have, they were protected from the fire.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No one here cleans their fans. That's why we have tattoos for protection. I'm like, I think that's like a. I tried to think the tattoos that she had on there. I was like, I don't think that's a protective tattoo. It's like one of those naked girls on the back of a, you know, semi or whatever.
like, that's why we have so many protection symbols.
So, and they, you know, take a
smoke detectors too. it was the skulls and, you know, the sprinkler system, but, you know, mostly the skulls.
So they go for a walk, and Hannah's just moved here from Atlanta, and she's
Well,
one thing I love about here is that it's romantically haunted. You know, it's like haunted, but like romantically. And Ashley's like, yeah, all those ghosts are just married because they got pregnant and don't love their husband. I mean, yeah, it's real romantic, Hannah. Thanks. Hey, you want to know a story? Everything here is built in squares because when there's so much tragedy here, that when there was a tragedy, everyone just had another square to go to.
I think it was like a firefighting measure. They would go into the square and fight the fire or something like that. But either
also,
way,
like, easier to navigate.
And they're pretty. The other thing, you know, I don't know how romantic it is when the ghosts are lighting your children's rooms on fire.
Yeah.
I love a romantic ghost. You know what I love? When they just take girls through the TV and then you have to climb through the closet and pull her back on a rag rope. That's the best. And then fling you up onto the ceiling.
Once upon a time, I would have been thankful for the babysitter. But after a while, I miss Izzy. Come back, Izzy! Come towards the light! So they're talking about like all this romantic Savannah stuff. And for whatever reason, the cameramen were obsessed with Ashley's like high tops with different colored shoelaces.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why. I think every time she says something like, you know, it's really romantic about the history, they're like, ha ha, different shoelaces. Like, God, you guys are dicks.
They're like, ha, we'll show her what's romantic. Shoelaces.
Yeah, so then she starts opening right up to Hannah about her relationship. She's like, well, you know, my husband, there's no romance with him. And I just wonder, you know, how am I going to make it? And Hannah's uncomfortable. She's like, I don't feel comfortable talking about the sex life of other women.
Yeah.
So
Hannah's not comfortable. So instead she starts talking about her brother husband, Louis, and how Louis is like, sometimes he's like a frat boy, but he's also starting his own sock company. And that's really cool. And Louis's cool. And, you know, things are cool.
She goes, she's like, she says something about being uncomfortable talking about sex. And then Ashley goes, well, does your mom think you're a virgin? And she goes, well, I mean, not mine, but Lou's mom does. And Ashley says, yeah, here in the South, you are a virgin, okay? You don't do anything as far as your parents know until the day you are married. You ain't sucked it. You ain't touched it. You ain't even flicked it. You're a virgin. That's it.
I believe that. I believe that.
Yeah.
So
next up is golfing.
Time to go golfing. So this is Ashley again. I mean, Ashley is clearly the star of the show because she's in every single scene. And she is going golfing with Louis and Daniel. By the way, in case people forget, Daniel is the Jewish guy who sort of has longish hair. He's cute. Louis is the one who's just like very, like, he's got short hair and he is, is he engaged to Hannah or he's with Hannah? Something like
that. He's with Hannah. And so, he's the sock magnate.
Sock magnate, yeah. So they're going to go golfing, and Ashley's like, this is the South. We learn to walk by holding golf clubs. I'm like, you can't say that everything in the South is like a developmental prerequisite. Like, you know, you're swimming before you're walking. You're playing golf before you're walking. It's like, everything is before you're walking in the South with her. This is the South. You're putting drinks on coasters before you're walking.
In the South, you just drink straight from a cow's teat.
we learned to mow lawns before we even know how to walk. That's how we learned to walk, by pushing the mower. We know. We can develop apps, computer apps, before we can even walk here in the South. Like, Ashley, now you're just lying. We know how to lie before we know how to walk in the South.
Here in the South, we tell a stop sign when to stop.
We learned to drive before we learned how to walk in the South.
So she's, of course, you know, she's very intent on, she's kind of like a Vanderpump Rules Jax to me, where she's getting as many nude scenes in as she can. It's like, okay, the camera crew's here. I'm getting in my lingerie and, you know, spraying some right under my armpits. We learned to spray our armpits with right guard before we even learned to walk in the sand. But she's like in that situation where she really learned to enjoy her sexuality and uniqueness later in life, because she's talking about her past a lot in this, when she was brunette and young and just had the kid and stuff. And now she's like, bright red lipstick, crazy different shoelaces, bleach blonde hair, you know. And I think she's found it later, and it's at that Jack's point where it's like, use it or lose it. So she's doing things like, hey guys, I'm going to make a golf right now. Strip golf.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was so much about her being like, I want to show off my body, use it or lose it. I think it's like, I'm horny. I'm really, really horny right now. Strip golf. Like, she wants to do something that's like sexual, but is not actually adultery. It's just like flirty, because it, you know, it gets you off. I remember when I was in the closet, you know, you do shit like that all the time. You sort of like flirt with it, but you don't do anything, you know. You know, I know. I've been there, girl. So
but you can't play strip golf and pretend you're not hitting or trying not to get naked immediately when you're wearing a one piece.
Yeah.
You literally have one thing to take off.
Yeah, that's true. And then she has like, you know, full on lingerie underneath, you know. So she's like, you know, so the boys have to take their shirts off first, and then she conveniently loses a hole. No pun intended. And Ashley, so then she has to take off like a romper or whatever. And so now she's fully just in like see-through negligee. And I mean, I at the moment was like, you know, one of these guys is in a relationship. I'm not sure how appropriate this is. Just, you know, like, this could cause an issue, I would imagine.
Yep. Well, it's one of those, you know, like hypersexualized, and then like, why does everyone call me slut?
Yeah.
You're doing it on purpose. It's what I always say about Erica Jane, you know? It's like, I'm going to do music videos like shooting out ping pongs from my vagina and then get mad when people treat me like, you know,
well,
I'm slutty.
You know, I have issues about, I don't totally agree with
that. And I'm not talking about the vagina storyline in particular.
Okay.
I just mean sometimes people set themselves up and just so they can have something to be mad about.
Yeah, I don't feel that way about Erica Jane. I know there are, but I do think other people are doing that. I'm not even sure. I don't even think that Ashley is doing that. I think that Ashley was just horny and just wanted to be like, have a sexual moment. But it probably was not appropriate. It probably was not appropriate just because there's probably a dress code at that golf course, at the very least. just based on dress code ethics, which I believe in.
Well, we next move over to Chuck and Kat, Catherine's folks. Catherine's just got a new place, her own bachelor pad, if you will.
I was very disappointed with how small it is. I'm like, excuse me, I am not tuning into TLC. I'm tuning into Bravo. You should have a giant rental that you cannot afford, okay? But you have it for the cameras, all right?
Well, you got cowhide in your floor before you even learned to walk and sail. It's like a cowhide carpet and an IKEA couch.
You already know the ins and outs of escrow before you even walk in the South.
So the mom is being really supportive. She's like, this is great. Dad says, well, small quarters, isn't it, honey? And Catherine tells us, my mom's path is different. She married a guy with nuts down to his ankles with a lot of money. And I just want to make her proud. So they start, she says, in the South, the expectation is you leave your parents' house and move straight into your husband's home. But I'm rebelling. I'm going to have my own party pad.
You have your own party pad before you even walk in the South. So,
and this family's obsessed with segues, because she's like, the dad says, well, we had to come in through an alley. Wasn't expecting that. She's like, well, Dad, obviously this is a segue to something bigger.
So Catherine
segue like five times in the scene.
Yeah. So inspired by the party that she threw for Lyle, Catherine now wants to go into the event planning / interior space. And her mom is like, but you realize that events take a lot of planning. Like, you know, there's the planning part of event planning, and girl, you're disorganized. You haven't planned shit your entire life.
I can't even get you out of bed to help me. She's like, Mom!
even those crabs in the cage down by the dock, I have better planning skills than you do, honey.
The dad goes, what did she say now? She said she did such a good job with planning that backyard barbecue that the gay guys did that she's going to do it for a living. And he goes, are you kidding? Is this a career? Do you get paid? And she's like, I don't know. We haven't gotten that far, Dad.
All I know is I want to do event planning / interior. Like, what does that even mean? I don't know.
Did
I saw it on LinkedIn.
Did you see Dick Cowhide on my floor, mother? It's like that party was literally like takeout barbecue in a backyard. But okay.
I mean, how hard is it, mother? It's a fold-out table with a tablecloth. Charge $10,000 for enough.
Did you see those things in my freezer that turn water into ice? They're like ice trays. Yes, mother. It's called being an interior designer. So next up is Ash and Nelson going shopping to bring Happy something for her bride or her bridal shower.
Yes, very. You know, as never mind. I'm not gonna say it.
And so Ashley stops to pick up Nelson. He's like, "Hi, girl." That's his first line. I was laughing so hard. He's like, "Hi, girl."
As an articulate man from the South would say, "Hey, girl.
What are we doing today?" And Ashley says, "I want to get Happy a gift for following her heart and marrying a man she loves, not just one that knocked her up and talked her into it." And Ashley's just stuck there on the couch wondering why the Indians are starting her house on fire. He's like, "Hi, Felicia."
"Bye, Felicia. Let's do something really butch, like go candle shopping."
So they go into this store, this like gift store.
Yeah.
And there's like some snooty redhead clerk that is looking at them both like, "You people ain't buying anything." You know, it's like they're going to get fingerprints on everything. These
on
people do not
candle.
Spend.
I'm sorry. This store is really for people who are involved in interior design, like that crazy girl in the cowhide apartment.
I like when she said that. She's like, "This is a cocktail candle. Once it's burned through, you can start having your cocktails in it."
You know, because everyone loves a wax martini.
"You never tasted wine until you've had a little bit of BPA wax in there." And Nelson's like, "You know what, girl? That makes you want to have a glass of wine, don't it?" I'm like, "Why?" Because she said it was like a wine glass. And then Ashley's like, what'd she say? "I'm a Christina." Oh, yeah, she says, "I'm a Christian."
Yes.
"But there's so much hypocrisy in the church in the South, just like in politics. It's okay for the president to talk about grabbing pussies, but he's a Christian and he's pro-life, so it's okay. But then he wants to kick out the Muslims. That's not Christians. Jesus would make me feel bad."
And Nelson's like, "La, la, 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 pro-Trump, pro-Trump, don't want to listen, don't want to listen." "I ain't hearing this, girl." Meanwhile, the lady, when they said they wanted wine, Liz's like, "Well, I have some rosé I can serve you," and she serves them like prune juice. I don't know. I was like, "What sort of rosé is that, lady?" "Yeah, I got you. I got you, lady in the candle shop. You thought you could get out of this unscathed? No, you've been gotten with your dark red rosé."
Nelson, meanwhile, is still obsessed. "Just because I say MAGA doesn't mean I can't grab some pussy."
MAGA, MAGA, MAGA.
So they're talking about...
Ashley starts talking about the rules of marriage. Well, no, Ashley was...
That Nelson was mad at the gays from the party. He were like, "They Googled me."
Yeah, yeah.
"And this is the day of the internet. And if none of that stuff had been reported in the national and international news, I wouldn't be the Nelson Lewis I am today." And she's like, "I love that, Nelson." And he goes, "Thank you, boo."
Yeah, he's like, "Believe it or not, I like to leave my life outside the box. And even though this looks like I'm in the box, I'm actually very much outside the box. Like, for instance, sometimes I wear my bow tie slightly askew."
"Sometimes I don't even inject that Botox. I'll just use it as moisturizer."
"Sometimes I drink light rosé, and sometimes I drink very dark rosé."
He goes, "We're different, all right? We're the kind of people, girl, that need Rocky Road. Screw vanilla." And they're like, "Ha, ha, ha." And the clerk's like, "Please leave. Get out of my store."
"You are sullying the brand of my candle store.
A slut and a heathen. Closed for business. We refuse the right to refuse service to..." We're going, like... So next up, Lewis picks up Hannah.
Yeah, Louis and Hannah go on a date. They talk about socks. They talk about socks a lot. It's a lot of socks.
She says, "If you aren't born in Savannah, you're always a transplant." Transplant. Lewis is like, well, I was born here. My dad's a Yankee. That's what we call him here. My mom's from Georgia. And my grandpas are self-made. And that is why I sell socks. It's like, yes. Yes, Lewis. I'm so behind Lewis all the way.
So ultimately, the Louis thing that's important to know is that he tells Hannah about the strip golf. And Hannah is, like, really uncomfortable about it. It feels strange. And she says something so passive-aggressive. She goes, I feel like I was raised to keep my clothes on. I don't know.
In the South, you come out with your clothes on before you even learn to walk.
You're born with clothes on. You're born with your cotillion dress on.
It's hard to even get babies to spit the placenta goo out their mouth because they can't feel the spanking through their corduroys.
Yeah, so Hannah is notably upset by this situation.
And he knows she's going to be mad. Because she's nervous. Like, why won't you just say it? And she's like, I think you're going to be mad. We played strip golf. And she's like, seriously? And he goes, I mean, we just took off our shirts. It was no big deal. And it was embarrassing. And she goes, yes, well, I'm embarrassed for you.
I didn't tell my mother that you have a dad bod, and now she knows everything.
I love his dad bod, rawr. Yeah, so he says, but yeah, we only took off our shirts, but Ashley only had a one piece, so, you know, she took that whole thing off. And she's getting so mad, but she's glad that he at least told her.
Right.
And then she starts thinking about it, and she's like, who plays strip golf? Like, I'm going to take my clothes off. She's starting to get herself more and more worked up. She's like, Wait a minute. We just talked about Indian slaves, you know, putting out fires on squares. How could she do this to me?
We bonded over squares. We bonded over old-fashioned firefighting techniques.
Then she does that thing where she can't yell at him because the cameras are there. So she just drinks her straw super passive-aggressively while she gives him a look like, well,
at least it wasn't mini putt-putt. Because I'll tell you one thing, if that windmill had knocked him in the boob, it would have been over.
That was in a putt-putt, and we couldn't live near a school or a damn church. By law, we wouldn't even be able to stay in town, Louie.
So then we go to Happy's wedding shower, which really, really reiterates my happiness of having never gone to a wedding shower ever. So we see things like, we learn that Catherine's grandma and Happy's grandma used to play bridge together.
This was the cutest thing, because I've been to plenty of bridal showers and helped throw them in the South. And usually, you know, you get to register. It's like your wedding, so people buy you stuff you register for. But this one was apparently just all about plates. I mean, all she got through this whole thing was, it's a big plate. And she goes, look. It looks like it's not plastic, but it is. And everyone's like, ooh,
I know. And she was so, every single thing. I mean, like, how many chargers did this woman get? Jesus. So
she kept passing stuff to her mom on the couch, and her mom was just looking at the price tags.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And she's like, it's the walk that I wanted. Apparently everyone also, like, registers at this place called the Cottage Shop. They're like, well, it's all the same thing. It's always, everyone always registered from the Cottage Shop. I'm like, it's from the Cottage Shop. Anyway, though, so Ashley shows up in, like, a teeny tiny, like, romper. I don't know if it was a romper thing or whatever, but
yeah, another one piece romper thing.
It was like a one piece romper thing which shows a lot of leg. I mean, I don't care, but, you know, these ladies care. And Catherine, so passive aggressive, she says to Happy, she's like, because Catherine's wearing a short, she's wearing a black dress, but it's like a short, it's like a mini skirt. And so Catherine goes, I feel like I'm going to a slutty funeral, and then I see her, pointing to Hannah. So passive aggressive. And then Happy goes, well, Ashley's always got that covered. No, I'm kidding.
And Hannah goes,
bless your heart, Hannah.
Hannah's like, Ashley, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how strip golf sits with me. And then see her be like, whoa, and these clothes, it's just a bridal shower, I'll just come in naked. I mean, whatever. She's getting more and more mad. So then she goes to sit outside and talk shit with Catherine. And then she sits down, but her skirt is so short that she's basically flashing, but she knows it. She's like, oh gosh, now here I am showing my biscuit.
Yeah, that's the thing, because she's like, I want to go in on Ashley for doing something slutty, but I know that I'm actually flashing America right now, so I gotta fix this, otherwise I can't do it.
Catherine goes, what's a biscuit? I feel like people should stop calling their hoo-haws biscuits, because biscuits are known for being like dry and crumbly, like on purpose. Not your biscuits, maybe.
Ronnie. I remember your biscuits from the Super Bowl, and they were moist and delicious. So I am
anti-Southern biscuits. I mean, right. There's a lot that goes in there to make them that way. Normal ones are just dry and crumbly, you know?
I would call them like a
lava cake.
No. I don't think any straight man, when he wants to explore the lava cake, wants to dip in there and have something ooze out.
Okay, a waffle cone. Well, I guess those are dry, too.
I don't know. All right, never mind. I think we are out of our depth on this one.
Biscuits it is.
Either way, I like that Catherine starts talking about her background and how she's always played it safe, and her parents, like, drove the fear of God in her of ever doing anything to ruin the family name, and she's like, I've always been afraid of a big social fail. I'm like, you're on a reality TV show. If you don't want a social fail, you're in the wrong place.
She said, I'm afraid of not being who my ancestors were. And I put a note to look that up on genealogy.com, and I didn't do it. Damn it.
I think when you're in the South and you say, I'm afraid of not being who my ancestors are, I think there are a lot of things that your ancestors were that you probably don't want to take on. A few things you probably just want to just leave in the past. I think it's okay to break from tradition with some of those ancestry issues there.
And some of the things that they say just don't, it sounds like they shouldn't be saying them in the past in the South. Like Hannah is giving her advice and saying, you just need to be your own person and you need to break away and not worry about it and just be yourself. Now, I know I'm calling the kettle black.
Don't talk about, you know, personal freedom.
It doesn't feel right.
We feel uncomfortable.
Stop making us uncomfortable, okay? Yeah. So she's talking about after the divorce, her like she always felt really close with her parents, but then she found out her dad was cheating and suddenly he was gone.
Yeah.
And she still needed his money, so she had to like kind of be nice to him, even though she wanted to tell him to fuck off. And she's like, and then I took a job at a tractor company, which like some truck. A truck tire company.
I think. It's something like that. I was like, did I hear that right? This is Bravo, right? Am I hearing truck company on Bravo? Okay, go on.
I feel like Andy Cohen's just watching this with his mouth open.
Like, what got onto my network?
And drool just kind of coming down. So let's see here.
So inside the party, Ashley. So inside
your own person.
Inside the party, so Ashley is babbling to Happy's mom, who, as we know, not totally a huge Azam fan, and the mom's like, I mean, Happy can't have a cross in her house. It's crazy, but you know what? I'm good friends with Deepak Chopra, who is not Muslim, and he said that Azam is Happy's soulmate. So, I don't know, crazy brown people, am I right? Ashley's like,
I mean, the way I was raised, if I told my mama I was friends with someone named Deepak, she'd hit me. But now he's one of my good friends. I'll tell you, they're good. She can't have a cross in her house, though. Oh, no. Just burn it to the ground. What are we going to do without a crucifix?
Yeah.
It's like the most depressing symbol ever. My sister has a whole huge wall of crucifix. Like, do we have to can we just eat? Like, why do I have to feel so guilty? It's like I feel guilty enough eating in Texas because my mom's always giving me that look like, you're eating that? Yes, I am. Now, do I need to watch 20 Jesuses die while I do it?
I mean, I'm Jewish. I have no idea. So, Ashley.
Oh, you'd feel quadruple guilty.
Yeah, Sue, I'm guilty over everything. I'm already so guilty about this episode. Like, Ashley goes outside to talk to Catherine and Hannah.
So the girls are kind of cold, and Ashley knows, you know. So she's just kind of tries to keep it going, and she's like, well, with everything going on around, you know, I just want to have a cleansing. I was like, hire a fucking maid. Just hire a maid. That's all you need to do.
Listen, there are plenty of people on Hoarders who are now out of work because the show's been canceled. So just call them up. They'll get a dumpster ready, and we'll be set.
Yeah, everyone
will be happy. The ghosts will be happy. You guys will be doing a Beetlejuice dinner party very soon. It'll be great.
So she wants a cleansing, and Catherine goes, for the house or for you? She goes, well, is it Tuesday? Because I got to get my hair done on Tuesday. So.
Yeah.
And Ashley says, I felt this mean girl shit from girls for 25 years, but this is ice cold. And so she leaves. And Hannah says, what just happened? And Catherine goes, that was black magic. I was like, I don't know what you people are talking about, but I love watching you.
Yeah, I was really unsure. To be honest, I was watching it last night. This was the part where I put it on pause and curled up into a ball and went to sleep for 90 minutes. I was like, I'll watch the rest later. So then they have this whole talk, and then we go inside, and now there's prayers for Happy, and Happy starts opening up her presents. This is when she's like, it looks like it's sound, but it's plastic. And she's like, this is so pretty.
And Ashley gave her a really nice cheese stone that was engraved. It was like a black onyx or something cheese stone that she got from that snotty shop. And it was actually really pretty. And Catherine's like, what is that? I don't even know what that is.
Can you catch a crab with that thing? I don't think so.
I don't want to eat something off a rock.
And then there's like this weird moment where, well, so let me back up for a second. Before the last commercial break, they're like coming up and you see Catherine say, so you were essentially naked on the golf course. And Ashley goes, I didn't think it would get to that. So now comes the moment. And Catherine randomly says to Ashley, so you were essentially naked on the golf course. And Ashley goes, I didn't think it would get to that. And then it like ends, the scene ends. I'm like, what?
It was well, like, it started a little different because Ashley knew that they were shading her for that. So finally, she's just kind of standing around the kitchen looking at them awkwardly. And so she goes, oh, hey, we played golf the other day and I won. Catherine's like, oh, so you were essentially naked. So it was like a trying really, to bring it. They
it was like
find.
A really weird moment that I felt like it was a Franken
edit.
Whatever you say. It just felt like everything was like stitched together through weird sound bites that weren't even being said at that time. It was a strange moment where I think they were trying to fabricate a tense moment, but it was just them being like, oh, ha, ha, ba, ba.
Well, now Catherine and Lyle are going crabbing with the parents. And as they walk down the dock towards the parents, Catherine goes, I haven't caught crabs in 2 years since you left town. Like, isn't that how long he's been gone?
Yeah, I think so.
So they talk to the parents, and basically he's loved the parents since he was a kid because he was a bad kid. The mom always stuck up for him.
Yeah.
They're cute. I like this couple.
They go crab. I was actually – I had FOMO. I want to go crabbing. That looked fun. So they go. They haul a bunch of crabs, and then they put the crabs in the pot, and they talk. Lyle doesn't come for money.
Yeah, so there's he's that. Like, she has a trust fund, but I want to give her a life she's used to all by myself. Then when she dies young, her trust fund will come to me. Yeah. She's like, oh, my God, we're boiling those things. Don't you feel bad? And he goes, no. I'm crabs. A super predator.
I'm the alpha crab around here. Crabs are so funny next, to me.
Crabs are?
Yeah, like, for instance, when he poured out all the crabs on the dock, and she's like, Lyle, they're going everywhere. And the crabs just, like, skittish and, like, walking. Just the way crabs walk. They're like, I just think they're funny.
That's crabs all. Are assholes. They're, like, self-haters, you know?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to touch a crab, but I think they're funny the way they're so skittish.
They hate themselves. Because whenever you have crabs in a bucket, they can physically climb out of there, but another crab will always pull them down back in the bucket. That's where that saying comes from.
Really?
I never heard that. Like crabs in a bucket.
I never
heard
that. It's
like when women treat each other like shit, or when gay men treat each other like shit, it's called being crabs in a bucket, because you're always pulling the other one back down to your level.
Oh, I never even heard that expression. I've heard like shooting fish in a barrel. But I know that's
totally
different.
Totally different.
Crabs in a bucket. Well, we should have just named this podcast Crabs in a Bucket because that's what we do. We just tear everyone down because we can't be lifted up ourselves.
Pretty much. But we're not even trying to lift up ourselves. This would be more shooting fish in a barrel. It's just like, whatever I hit, I hit.
Let's just shoot some crabs in a barrel, okay? Just put some crabs in a barrel and shoot them.
I'm a super predator.
I'm shooting crabs in a barrel. That's not how you crab, Lyle.
So Ashley comes to Hannah's house, and yes, they've both got really good Southern manners, and yes, they kind of like each other. And so it's really funny. She's like, oh, hi, Hannah. I like your new table. And she's like, well, thank you. I waited 10 weeks for this table. Well, good. It was worth it. I love it. And Hannah goes, so strip golf. Where did it come from? From you, I guess, that idea. That come from you. Ashley looks at this point like she's kind of drugged out. Yeah, I think she knew what was coming up and she took a Xanny or something.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, she's just saying, well, I didn't really, you know, it didn't seem to bother them or me or whatever. You know, she's just sort of making excuses. And the next thing you know, Ashley is starting to say bullshit stuff where she's like, I just want to show people that my body's not perfect and I own it. And I was like, okay, this is strip golf. It was not a moment of self-empowerment. And Hannah even said it better. She's like, it's like, you're not Lena Dunham. You know, I do not think running around on a golf course in your lingerie is an effort for feminism.
I was like, yes, she Hannah. Actually said, you are not Lena Dunham and you've had more surgery than Pamela Anderson. I was like, whoa, Hannah's like so sweet. That's why I love a Southern girl. The sweetest ones can cut you the hardest.
Look, if Ashley had just been like, look, I thought it would be fun. And it just seemed like a funny thing to do. And I didn't even think about that. So sorry. That would have been fine. But for her to start being like, no, look, it's like a moment where I'm celebrating and embracing my body and I'm showing people. And so I have it only for this moment and I want people to see it. I was like, come on now. Come on.
I mean, how is it different? So I'm walking around in my undies and playing golf. Who cares? People walk around the beach in bikinis. Like,
not quite. I mean, but
okay,
I mean, like,
keep
meaning,
grasping.
Yeah,
keep
just. So then Hannah
it's
starts.
It's a double standard between men and women. You know, a man can walk around without his shirt. And a woman can't do the same thing. She's like, well, the men are in trouble for taking their shirts off too or whatever. But I like how Hannah is trying to explain it to her calmly because Ashley really could have gotten out of this so easy because Hannah says it like, look, I respect your beliefs and where you're coming from. And like, if you don't, you know, if you want to be like a rebel woman doing your thing, that's cool with me. And she was probably about to say, but it makes it look kind of bad for my husband.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to keep him in line.
Yeah,
and then Ashley goes, beliefs. Now, don't say beliefs, because that makes it seem like I'm not spiritual or I'm not a God-fearing woman.
She literally says, I don't think bringing values and beliefs into this has anything to do with it. I'm like, you just said you didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Hannah was just saying, you know, that was your belief. Like, you know, and you can have that belief. I'm not taking that away. She was trying to say, it makes me uncomfortable. So for you to suddenly take it this, all of a sudden, she's like, it has nothing to do with values and beliefs. I'm like, that's 100% what it has to do with. Because you have a disagreement on your values and beliefs in this situation. Doesn't have it. She's not talking about your morals and your religious stance and your spirituality.
So funny. And it's like, are you kidding? She goes, no, I was not naked. Would I do it again? Probably.
By the way, she was blurred out. Yes.
Oh, this show. So the online consensus about this show is not solid. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
I personally really like it.
I'm mixed on it. I'm in a wait and see mode. I'm hoping that this is the controversy that kicks off the real stuff in the season. I remember Southern Charm, the first one was like, you know, in the beginning it was like, okay. I don't know. There's I feel like this may sound very superficial, but I want to see more wealth. You know, like, what's good about Southern Charm is that they're so wealthy, they're just assholes in their wealthiness. And I feel like these are just people living in Savannah so far. But we'll.
Yeah, you know. I like it because I think that the women and the men are, well, the men on Southern Charm are pretty Southern. But the only, like, real Southern-y woman to me on Southern Charm is Cameron.
Right. I agree.
And all the women are just kind of from someplace else. They're not very Southern acting. And these women are. I love it. I love when they're mad and they just can't say it.
There is a definitely distinct feeling between this one and regular Southern Charm. Like, you could definitely see, you know, Southern Charm is a little bit more of that fratty, you know, that fratty Southern guy. And this one's more of like the Deep South, like, bless your heart, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, I think, kind of cool. It's cool to see the different nuances between communities in the South. But I haven't signed off on it by any means. I'm waiting for it. I'm hoping it kicks into high gear, and I'm hoping that it will now that we have this ridiculous strip golf controversy. And we are left on this to be continued, essentially, between Hannah and Ashley. You know, they're going to get into a fight over this. Is it appropriate or is it not? So I guess we'll find out.
And we'll find out soon.
We will find out soon. And now, since it is Friday, that means it's time for the Crappin's Mailbag. Crappin's Mailbag is when you get to write in and we will read your questions and comments on the air. If you want to do it, you go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappins. Sign up at the Crappin's Mailbag level or above, and you can do it. So, usually what we do is we put up a post on Patreon that says, like, leave us your questions here, and people write a whole bunch of questions, and we go through them, and then once we go through all the questions, we do a new post. So now, at this point, we have a few posts that are a few weeks old, so apologies. The first one comes from the Quinitars, who say, you guys freaked out a la Pettifleur over Bravo celebrities at the Star Magazine party, but which one Bravo celebrity would make you blow your load if you met them in person? FYI, if we ever had a Ben or Ronnie sighting, we would lose our minds. Aw. Thanks, Quinitars. I don't know.
Oh, thank you.
Ronnie, who would you blow your load if you met them in person?
Oh, my gosh. I've met my favorite Bravo people in person, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I think I would probably freak out if I met some of the New York women, because... Mm-hmm. You don't really have to talk to them. It would be like seeing Mickey Mouse up close, you know, like you would just have to watch it.
Yeah.
Just live, or like seeing Tiffany in concert for the first time.
Yeah, exactly. At the mall.
Like, I just saw him standing there. Okay.
Okay.
I didn't do it. I didn't tell him to stand there.
Whoa, this is crazy. I think we're alone now. This is crazy.
Doesn't seem to be anyone around, and I still don't know how to play backgammon.
I know. I feel like I've met actually a lot of my favorite Bravo stars. I think at this point, I'd probably lose my shit. Caroline Fleming, as we mentioned at the top of the show, I think as mentioned by the fact that I was like, if I had enough of a lead time, I would have driven across town to see her at a restaurant. So Caroline Fleming and probably Caroline Stanbury are two that I would lose my shit over. I mean, at this point, I mean, I've met a lot of the big ones. I've met Lawler. We met Lisa Vanderpump. I've met Countess Luann. I met Ramona. If I met Bethany, I don't think I'd lose my shit over Bethany. I think I'd be scared.
That's how I would feel with Stanbury, because she's probably the one I like the most, but I would feel like she's always looking at me like, ugh. Or like when I see Jeff Lewis every once in a while at Leah Black's house, I get scared.
Yeah.
And he's very nice, but I get like kind of petrified.
Right. And I don't think I would lose my shit over anyone from Southern Charm. I think it'd be cool to meet them, but I don't think I'd lose my shit necessarily. Shaw's of Sunset people. We sort of met Padma and Gail before. Maybe Candy Burris. I do really enjoy Candy Burris. I just don't know if I'd lose my shit over her, though, to be honest.
No, living here, you see so many people that you've loved on TV and movies and stuff, and you have to pretend you don't know them. Like, I was a waiter, so you can't be like one of those stupid people on the Abbey and be like, can we take a selfie? Like, you have to really just pretend you don't know them.
Yeah, I think for me, it's going to be Caroline Fleming and Caroline Stanbury. I think those are the ones that would really do it for me. Or maybe some of the people from Gallery Girls.
Yeah, the Carolines.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to them. Okay, so Delaza D said, I remember way back you guys had asked Rinna to be on your show, but she said it was too mean and her publicist wouldn't let her do it. What made her change her mind?
Well, it's not that she said it was too mean. It's that she had just gone on Jenny McCarthy and they showed that on Beverly Hills. And Jenny McCarthy was like, so is your husband gay? She's like, no, he's not gay. She's like, but you've pegged him. Like, does he like dildos? Like, do you strap one on? And Rinna was like, oh, we did that once or what? She said something like that. And then I think Harry was like, why are you saying shit like that? She's like, I can't help it, Harry. I just say whatever. I don't care. I own it. He's like, stop it. So she stopped because of her own mouth. She was afraid what she would say.
Yeah. Can't say it, but then we made her feel comfortable remind her it would be a safe space here on Watcher Crappens. And lo and behold, she came on and said nothing incriminating about strap-ons or dildos. So yeah, bravo, and thank you, Lisa Rinna.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much it. We got two more questions left, which we'll do next week. And in the meantime, let's just wrap it up. Short little mailbag today. We've been podcasting all week, and I think we're running out of energy. I'm sorry.
Bye, everybody.
Everyone will see you on Monday. See you on Monday, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
This lady's coming on.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate the love and support you guys show us. If you have a minute, go to iTunes and leave a review. And if you don't want to do that, maybe next time you're talking to your friends about Bravo, you mention the podcast. Spreading the word really helps us grow, and it means the world to us. Also, check us out on Instagram and at Twitter. On Instagram, we're at WatchWhatCrappens. On Twitter, we're at WhatCrappens. You can also check out me and Ronnie on both platforms. Ronnie is at Ronnie Karam on both Instagram and Twitter, and I'm at B-Side Blog on Instagram and Twitter. Really, thank you guys so much. We really mean it. We appreciate the support. And even if you do none of those things, we're just happy you're listening. Thanks.